Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Welcome to the long take as shit all falls down. Today we have special guest fights because we are going to be doing a draft of the best plane movies. But I didn't really specify anything other than the fact that it had to be plane movies. So it can really go anywhere you want with it whatsoever.
Okay.
Go any direction you want it.
Oh, this is a draft. See, dude, goddamn, every time you text me, I'm thinking the bracket. So I thought there was going to be a bracket ready. No, now fuck, I'm going to have to.
Now you have to do full plane movies.
I'm going to do this on the fly.
Yeah, that's even better. But before that, we do have a few news items, and we have a decent ad.
We have an ad?
We have an ad, but we're going to do that right before we get into the draft. The first thing was Golden Globes recap. I didn't watch them because I'm a Brendan Fraser guy, and they support molesters at the Golden Globes.
Wait, so. What's this all about? I believe I heard he was boycotting it.
He wasn't going because in, I think it was 2003, he was groped by the head of the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh.
Who runs that. He told the Hollywood Foreign Press.
I knew that story. Yeah. I didn't know it was the head of the Hollywood Foreign Press. I knew he'd been groped before, but okay.
He told them that and they were just like, we don't care. Or like, we don't believe you or all this shit. And then so he got blackballed after that, all that shit. And so yeah. Fuck them.
So you boycotted as well.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna watch anyway because they suck. But like,
there's
a good reason not to this time.
I love Banshee so much. I know you did too, my guy.
Great show.
And the
talk about the movie.
Oh yeah.
Banshee. But I did just start watching the show Banshee.
You would love the show Banshee.
I've been told that a lot. I haven't started yet. I know it's the guy from like the Ford commercials.
It's fucking Homelander.
It's Homelander.
Oh, Homelander.
Anthony Starr.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He's the main
dude. I'm thinking of a different show.
It's one of the horniest shows I've ever watched. There are 40-minute episodes, and I'd say at least 10 minutes of every single episode are just full-on sex scenes.
Yeah.
Really? The cheeks getting clapped. Like, you see the recoil.
Dude, you'd love it. It's like a very dude show. Like,
all right.
It's just like the dumbest lines. The dialogue's stupid as hell, but that's
what it's CWS dialogue.
Yeah.
But the action just.
And it's like a Showtime
rules.
Or Stars or something?
It's Cinemax. It's on HBO Max now.
Oh, dope. Okay.
Yeah. And watch the same showrunner did Warrior, which is an amazing show. Really good show. That's it's like a martial arts show, but fucking insanely good.
I was saying I was watching a movie. Oh, you know, I started After Sun because I heard Jeff liked it. I think you guys all liked it. Mm-hmm. Like the first 20 minutes of it, I couldn't stay off my phone because I was just trying to see who won stuff.
Yeah,
and I was like, fuck it, you know, just put on the Globes then. And I did watch it. I found it incredible. It's probably the first award show I've watched in a little while. I think like 2020 kind of had a break for everybody, and I didn't really jump back on. And I was so incredibly awkward. I was so uncomfortable the whole time.
That's the vibe everyone gave from it, basically.
It was like everything. It wasn't just Carmichael. It wasn't just everything. There was when Eddie Murphy got his award, and they Tracy Morgan was giving a speech for him, and they kept cutting to Murphy, and he just wasn't laughing at all.
Dude, that Tracy Morgan joke was absurd.
Which one?
When he was like, mom said, don't take any jobs for the money. That's what we have Walmart trucks for. Which is insane to say, considering two or one of his friends died in that accident. Jesus Christ, that's dark.
That's a good one. But then Jamie Lee Curtis came out and they held hands for so long. There were so many things about it that were so like, what the fuck is happening right now? But Banshees won a lot, so I liked it.
Dude, yeah. Colin Farrell getting up on stage and just shooting a shot at Ana de Armas.
Dude, 30 seconds. He's like, look, I've been wanting to win a Best Actor award my whole life, and I'm just going to use this to tell Ana de Armas she has nice ankles, I think he said.
Some girl tweeted out, and she's like, yeah. I knew Colin was going to do that. The second he won the award, that boy's been ran through. Just like knowing that Colin's a hoe.
Dude, that was the highlight of the Globes, was how little everyone respected the pianist. Like, they were just fucking walking all over this woman. Like, everyone was like, shut the fuck up. Colin Farrell says, and you can cool it with the piano. And then Michelle Yeoh came up, and she was like, she goes, I'll beat you up. And she's like, and I can. She was like, straight up threatened violence.
They started trying to play the music for her, and she was like, turn it off. And they did.
Yeah. And they were, who was it? And then by the end, everyone was getting 20 seconds, because like, before they went going, and they just talk over it. And it got to the point where it was full-blown concerts. I don't even know where the other instruments were coming from, because it was just the piano there. They were full-blown concerts being played loudly to get people off the stage.
I feel like part of the thing with the Globes is that they could be potentially way funner, because they are essentially just a drinking event for Hollywood people.
They've had good years. Like, yeah.
That was dope when Mike White.
I don't love Ricky Gervais that much, but like, his years hosting, pretty good. Like,
he's super funny in those.
I get, when people are mean to people's faces, I get uncomfortable with that too. Yeah. I'm like, oh god. Like, if it's playful, but he's like fucking cutting. He's a lot. But at least people shut the fuck up when he's talking. Jared Carmichael, they just talked.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he had to ask them, he's like, can you guys stop talking, please?
Yeah.
It was, again, uncomfortable.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea, though, just letting celebrities get drunk and go on stage and say the dumbest shit you've ever
heard. Yeah, that's really risky shit. The Globes really needs to lean into that. Just get him even drunker.
Dude, Mike White was like, he's kind of like fucking pumping his chest like motherfucking everybody's like, I know you all passed. You all passed on this.
Yeah.
And he started by saying like, I'm drunk, so I'm just going to say shit up here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I saw really from it was that obviously Everything Everywhere All at Once won a lot. Movie that was my favorite of the year. Banshee's my second favorite movie of the year. Won a shit ton. And that's the only thing I really care, as long as it's winning awards.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I want out of Globes, period. But there was, I feel like, what are the other clips that really came out of it?
Eddie Murphy was funny.
Millie Alcock just joke, being... Yeah. Millie Alcock from House of the Dragon just being shit-faced up on stage was pretty funny.
Who's that?
The first Rhaenyra. Did you watch House of the Dragon?
I you know what? I actually didn't finish it.
She was the younger one.
It's not like I didn't dislike it. I just kind of fell off.
She's like the main character in House of Dragon, basically.
Okay. Yeah. And she was just shit-faced on stage.
She's the one with like a... She has interesting makeup. She looks very Danish.
No, that's the older one.
That's the older
one. So they changed. Okay. Yeah, they aged him up. And so she played very the old. Danish. Yeah, very confusing.
She looks, I forget what country she's from, but she looks exactly like
that. Get the pronouns right. That's a they, them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I did not know that. I apologize.
Emma D'Arcy. But Rhaenyra, the younger one, was just absolutely blasted.
Wait, the younger Rhaenyra is 21 years old?
Yeah, I thought she was like 10.
Dude, I did too. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was really weird. But yeah, anything else? Interesting clip-wise, really? Like,
No, not really. Nothing crazy. I mean, yeah, it was pretty boring.
Some of the speeches were nice. But yeah, Golden Globes have never mattered, never will matter. But
see, I was just wrong. I was under the impression that Globes were the fun one.
They are supposed to be the fun one, but they don't matter at all.
You know what's the fun one?
Yes, I don't.
You know what's the fun one now is the Spirit Awards.
Was that the one that like Mulaney and Kroll did recently?
They might have done it. Aubrey Plaza hosted like 4 times, and she was great at it. That's the one. Adam Sandler won Best Actor for Uncut Gems at it.
Was that the one that Seth Rogen was like, you told us this was outside like last year?
Maybe.
Where he was, because it was in a tent, and he was like, usually
yes,
said, like,
probably yes, because they do it in a tent, I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to run something through you. This is actually the best award show, and it doesn't exist anymore. The Guy's Choice Award. Guy's Choice Award is the greatest award show ever. Can I read you some of the categories? Do you remember these?
Spike TV Guy's Awards.
Okay, the first one, the Guy Movie Hall of Fame Swingers won. Biggest ass kicker was Gerard Butler in 300, who beat out Kiefer Sutherland in 24. Ballsiest band, Disturbed, won. Hottest girl on the planet, Adriana Lima. This is the most Spike TV thing of all time.
Hottest girl on the planet.
Luckiest bastard.
Luckiest bastard.
Luckiest bastard. Cash Warren won in recognition of his relationship with Jessica Alba. Gift from the gods, Minka Kelly wins. And she beat Rashida Jones from The Office. Like, what? It's wild. Gift, most unstoppable jock, LaDainian Tomlinson. Naughtiest cyber vixen.
We need to like update it with like today's terminology.
So I
like,
want to do
the him
forever.
Award. The him award.
Yeah.
Like, he's him.
There's cockiest crew, gutsiest move, sexiest import, Bar Raffaelli one. That's a fucking
sexiest
gross
import. That's fucking awesome.
The best gangstertainment. Hottest Jessica Alba versus Beale. That's smart. I like that. Where else we got?
Did you say it was Best Jessica?
And the best part Jessica. About those awards was all the A-listers showed up to this shit.
Yeah, dude. Like, Christian Bale was at these. Like, Matthew McConaughey was at these. Like, what? Yes, dude, like, for
they
real.
They all showed up to them. It was like the Oscars.
It was insane. Like, super high-profile actors were there. Yeah, I know, like, Christopher Nolan presented an award there. Like,
Christopher Nolan, the guy choice? That's fucking awesome.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Badass DNA. Peyton Manning beat Eli Manning. And Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch were against each other. Yeah, badass DNA from the Busch brothers. Fiercest female. Killer quote, don't tase me, bro, one. That's very Spike TV Awards, too. Holy shit, these are funny. I'm just going to go to the best way to do this is Spike or Guy's Choice Awards. And their award, by the way, was just like a golden antler.
Why? What, like hunting?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, if you just look up the Guy's Choice Award, yeah, it's like here's Sandra Bullock and Matthew McConaughey. There's Hugh Grant.
Who would host that now? Like, Joe Rogan Keanu would Reeves. Obviously. Joe Rogan would host
Brad
that shit.
Pitt and Edward Norton here. I think that's, who is that? Halle Berry and Jamie Foxx. Like, Mel Gibson, of course. Just like people you wouldn't expect to be at these awards were at there. Jason Statham, I expect to be there. He should have been there. But I've thought forever about bringing that back in a Barstool one, like just making like the
Earl. That's what I'm saying. We should just update it with today's terminology, like the Him Award, the Riz Award.
Yeah, it'd be so easy. But after that,
baddest in the game.
There'd be so many different ones we can go with, too. It's great. After that, there's the Beau Is Afraid trailer, which I should have sent that to you, Fights. That was my bad. Ari Aster's next movie, Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Ryan, Nathan Lane looks really trippy.
Yeah, I was gonna say I watched it. I'm interested. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck is happening. Yeah. But I'm interested.
This seems like a wake nightmare or whatever it's called, like a livid nightmare or something like that. Like, it's really bizarre looking, but it's fucking Joaquin Phoenix. And it's Joaquin Phoenix, and it's Ari Aster, I think, is an insanely good 2-for-2 with Hereditary and Midsommar.
Like, dude, I watched Hereditary for the first time this weekend. Mm-hmm. Never seen it before. Somehow never been spoiled.
Yeah.
Dude. Am I allowed to spoil it here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been long enough.
When that chick gets decapitated, I had no idea that was coming. Obviously, like most people watching, yeah. Obviously they also did not know it was coming. But it came out, 3-4 years ago? Yeah, it's
2017.
Yeah, and so you would think by now I would know that was coming. I was watching, I just like popped up on the couch, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That was insane. That movie was crazy. It was a great movie.
The follow-up, too, when you see your face all covered in maggots and shit on the side of the road.
Pretty quick, by the way. For me. I mean, I guess it was ants.
It was pretty fast for me.
That's still one of the bigger snubs. Like, Toni Collette got no recognition for that.
I said that enough. Also while I was watching. I was like, Jesus, this woman's acting her ass off.
Absurd.
Dude, she was crazy good in that.
The description for that movie, by the way, for the Beau Is Afraid, like in the IMDb, is just not the movie.
Is that when it was Disappointment Boulevard or whatever?
Yeah, like they just put in a fake synopsis.
Really?
Yeah, they put in a fake one because apparently the script leaked like 3 years ago. And so to throw people off the scent, they put in, like, it says like a decades long portrait of one of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time.
Yeah, that's how it is. The one now is a decade
spanning. That's the plot to The Aviator.
Yeah. This is now a decade spanning surrealist horror set in an alternate present. Phoenix playing an extremely anxious but pleasant looking man who has a fraught relationship with his overbearing mother and never knew his father. Okay. Interesting enough. Michael Gandolfini in this too. And Richard Kind, by the way.
You know the vibe I got from it?
What?
A little bit of Walter Mitty.
From
Beau Is Afraid. It was like Walter Mitty mixed with Shutter Island.
Yeah, it was like a horror version of Walter Mitty. Yeah, yeah. I can see that. And the only other thing after this was Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell cast in a new rom-com from the Easy A director Will Gluck. Funny ass name.
Will Gluck.
But Sydney Easy A and Fired Up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know Fired Up.
See, I feel like you'd love Fired Up.
You really?
Yeah.
You'd be a fan. But Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell are two of the hotter people working in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
That was an awesome interview. We did Glenn Powell a while back. That was
Sydney Sweeney?
Her too. That was a decade.
That's so very funny that you guys interviewed Sydney Sweeney.
Well, you did?
Yeah.
Really?
It's over COVID, like
before even Euphoria dropped, right? Or was it during the Euphoria. Yeah, okay. That's what it was.
Yeah, and that was crazy. She's like weird, like crazy smart. Like, she was telling us all these stories about how she like wrote all these alternate, she wrote like a book of an alternate biography or future biography of her character Cassie in Euphoria.
I have never seen Euphoria.
It's crazy. Well, like just crazy intelligent stuff on that she did, like writing wise. And that's, I think we talked about fucking
Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
That clip went a little bit viral. I remember she was like basically just fangirling over Leo, like even knowing her name after they shot a full ass movie together.
Yeah.
She's like, she's like, I saw him on the red carpet. Could not believe he recognized me.
Yeah. Wait, what movie did you do together?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. She was like one of the
Random Manson.
Hippie heads living on the Manson farm.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that soon. Cause that's,
yeah, me too. I've only seen it once.
Specifically the scene with, Bruce Lee and Brad Pitt. That scene is so goddamn
People
funny.
Still get mad about that too.
Yeah, whatever.
Because they're like, Bruce Lee would never lose to a random stuntman.
It's fucking dude, ridiculous. It's a movie.
Yeah, you know, Charles Manson didn't get killed by Brad Pitt or Leonardo either. Like, Jesus, dude.
I love that line in it too. With from Bruce Lee's character or from the character of Bruce Lee when it's like, no, I guess it's from Brad Pitt's character. It was like, that's what happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I remember that being a thing. Like, even like growing up, where it's like, dude, boxers, if they get in a fight, it's like assault a deadly weapon if they kill someone or whatever it is.
Like, I go to jail. Right. Like, yeah, if you kill anyone, you'll go to jail. But yeah, that's that. Now we can get into our Plane movie draft. But before that, I want to hear just quickly, because we did this because you went and saw Plane yesterday along with Robbie Fox and Captain Khan.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your review.
Okay.
Of Plane.
I have to be delicate here because I very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
But I also was disappointed because it was too normal of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking forward to being absurd and all this nonsense and craziness and chaos happening. Stuff, you know, Fast and Furious universe type stuff. Mm-hmm. Angel Has Fallen, Olympus Has Fallen universe type stuff. This is just a solid, logical action movie. There is, you know, obviously it's a movie, so there's some stuff where suspension of disbelief is necessary, but there is really...
It's grounded, too grounded.
It's a little grounded, too. Yeah, everything that happened, you're like, okay, I can see that. That is possible that thing could happen. You know, no one's jumping fucking planes from buildings in Abu Dhabi or wherever they are. But I read a Variety review before I went who said it's a movie as solid as its star, which it is, I agree. Someone else on Uproxx maybe said like it's a throwback to 90s action movies. Mm-hmm. Robbie Fox said the same thing after we saw it, and I agree with all that wholeheartedly. Fucking like 80 minutes, beautiful.
Love that.
I think
that.
movie previews started at 7. I think at 8:40 I was out.
That's
something like that, right? Like, I mean, that's as good as a fucking cosign as you can give a movie.
Yeah.
But it was great. I strongly recommend it. It is if I could change one thing, I'd have another action scene in it.
Okay.
The battle is awesome. And then there is another fight scene or one or two, but they're pretty minimal. I'd have two big.
He needs like a boss battle before the final.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You need to fight some comically large guy.
Like even there is another tense moment after the battle, and I thought that was going to lead to another battle. Uh-huh. And I guess I'm kind of spoiling it, so maybe you can edit this if you want.
No, it's so broad, and everyone, it's a movie where like you know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's very good. I would have liked it to be more ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like that's where I'm at with Butler too. Where like I want it to be Greenland or whatever.
Yeah,
or
fucking, yeah.
What Geostorm or any of that shit.
I want the Ugly Truth Part 2.
Dude, we were talking about Gerard Butler on the podcast yesterday. Actually, it's for Monday's show. It comes out with Bob Fox. And it was because of that Uproxx interview I read with him where the Uproxx writer, whose name escapes me, was like, you're immune to, like, your movies don't work anymore in this world unless you're in it. Like, you're immune to, all your movies make money every time. And Kevin was like, he's like, no, but not like The Ugly Truth. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up.
Dude, how much did The Ugly Truth make?
$30 million budget, $208 at the box office.
Let's go, baby. Yeah. And I own that shit on DVD too. So.
Yeah, right. Not even counting when that shit came out on DVD.
Oh my, yeah, for real. That $38 million, $205 million return. That is insane. Holy shit.
Dude, Hollywood just kind of gave up on rom-coms. It's depressing.
It is very depressing.
Butler was
depressing.
A good rom-com guy too.
Yeah, like, dude, he's I mean,
Bounty Hunter.
Like, he's also Gerard Butler. Yeah. I feel like is the kind of proof that in the entertainment world, and obviously you need to be able to get jobs, but the only way you can fail is if you stop doing it.
Yeah, that's
because I feel like he was kind of a laughing stock, and maybe some people still find that he is. I don't know, but I thoroughly enjoy every Gerard Butler movie I see.
It's almost like the Nick Cage complex, right? Where like he was kind of doing that through all the 2000s, where he's just like, I'm just going to keep making them, doesn't matter what they are. And yeah. Like everyone made fun of him for it, but now they're all back on him.
Correct. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point Gerard Butler's going to get that same look. You know, it was a sneaky, very sweet or sad movie, P.S. I Love You.
Oh,
bro, I fucking
love that. The with my girlfriend.
I love that. Like, movie.
I was a mess, a puddle.
I like that one. And he has that Bounty
the machine,
Hunter. I'll get
the Machine Gun Preacher.
Machine Gun Preacher.
I actually haven't seen that.
That
one.
Seems like, yeah, you got to watch that one.
It feels like something that should be illegal for a Gerard Butler diehard. But the Fallen franchise, I hope that goes into like the Fast level where like they do 10 of them.
Exactly.
Why not?
Once you hit 4, you're probably going to start going.
TNT doesn't have their own streaming service. I was going to say, if they do, like, why not just if TNT just put all their money in the,
in the Butler game?
In the Butler game.
That's what
he is the ultimate TNT actor.
Yeah. I read an article fairly recently where it was like the, talking about like the most watched shows on Netflix in various countries. Mm-hmm. And what the thesis of the article was is that Netflix has to understand and accept the fact that they are not a premier streaming service.
Yeah.
That people use Netflix for like the Saturday afternoon TNT.
Background shows.
Basically. And like that was basically, that's exactly what you're describing, where it's like, yeah, we don't want this fucking premium
HBO
show. It's just like, this is just the nonsense you put on while we're cooking dinner and stuff like that. But I would love a streaming service like that, which is like fucking 90s, 2000s action movies that are all like okay, but also kind of bad.
Even if Netflix did that, you give like Gerard Butler half the money you paid Adam Sandler for his 50-picture deal or whatever. Yeah. Do that for Gerard Butler just to make action movies for Netflix. Like that would pay off.
In that Up Rocks interview, he joked that this will be his last movie in theaters.
In theaters?
He's like, you'll only see me on streaming now. And he's not kidding. I'm kidding. I'm doing movies. But that seemed like maybe something of a smoke, there's fire type deal.
Den of Thieves 2 is happening, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. Den of Thieves. Dude, one of the best action movies of the last.
Genuinely like, very good movie.
Great action movie.
Great heist. Great cast. Like Pablo Schreiber in that.
Dude, it is 50?
Yeah.
Come on. It's... there's definitely gonna be a TV series because obviously they ended it with a bit of a cliffhanger.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that did really. I think I don't think it did well in theaters, but I think in its second life, people have really understood that it's a great action.
His name is Nick something in that, but I forget it. He had a cool ass name in that, and he was just fucking well, give me the Pepto.
Yeah,
give me the Pepto.
He's such a good fucking cop.
Perfect, like shit, and they're all like tatted up. Like it was like the fucking like that's just not gonna happen. But like that's what's so endearing about it. Oh yeah, it was a Big Nick O'Brien.
Big Nick.
Yes. Big Nick O'Brien. Big Nick.
Big Nick O'Brien. I fucking love that. All of his names in all of his movies, by the way, are always incredible. Oh, I'm playing Brody Torrance.
Brody Torrance. Bro, and also rocks. Finally, he's been flirting with this for a while. He did it in Greenland. He's like, I'm fucking Australian. Mm. I'm sorry, Australian. I'm Scottish. Yeah, I'm Scottish. I'm done with the American accent.
Yeah.
Just write into the story why I fly for American Airlines despite being Scottish.
Yeah, and that's we'll so easy too. Yeah. It's so easy to explain half of the things and they just don't. Oh, Hunter Killer.
We talked about this. Why does everybody need to be American? Like,
I don't know.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was the biggest action star on planet Earth for 2 decades. Never once attempted. But not once. They would just be like, he's got this American ass name.
It was never explained though. That's the thing. They were never like, yeah, he's an immigrant.
I don't need to know.
Here's this guy, John Miller from Iowa. He has an Austrian accent. You're not getting anything further beyond that.
He's like an accountant and he's like built like the world. Yeah. I mean, he's a world bodybuilder.
Yeah. I feel like with a Predator, they just call him Dutch and they're like, okay, that gives you something for the imagination. Maybe he's Dutch. I don't know.
I forgot what I was just going to say. What were you saying?
You're about to go Commando John Matrix. Great name, by the way. Commando is like one of my favorite movies.
Actually. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I just learned at the Globes, and it was actually on a viral video last night. I had no idea Andrew Garfield's British.
Yeah, yeah. Big time British.
I know like that. I know I sound dumb. And I also know like everyone does that. Everyone has like their one actor where they're like, whoa, way too late.
Toni Collette being Australian. I didn't know that until recently.
When he was young right now. And he was just getting into acting. Him, Robert Pattinson, Charlie Cox, and one other. And Tom Sturridge. They all lived together.
Yeah.
Really?
Just insane. So like Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Batman.
That's fucking nuts.
Just all in one house together, yeah.
If I can ask, I actually texted Nate about this last night once I realized he's British. Why? And I wouldn't choose him, but why doesn't he even get brought up? Because I feel like everyone British gets brought up. Why does he even get brought up as Bond? Is he too young looking?
Too slender. Thin, I think too slender.
But he can put on, he's tall. He's like Krasinski. He can put on muscle.
It's hard to explain it, but like he's not hot.
He's almost too nice.
That makes sense. You know what I mean? He's like the nice guy. He's like handsome, undeniably handsome.
He doesn't
have
a womanizer vibe.
Yeah. You need to have that. Like Daniel Craig has that in spades. Like Pierce Brosnan has that in spades. Like you need that vibe.
You're right about that. I think he could, again, he wouldn't be my choice, but I think he should at least be brought up.
I can't even imagine him having sex with a woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like he just doesn't look like, can I kiss you now or something? He's like, he has that vibe. And like, you can't have that as a Bond.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a fair point.
Think about the other options that are up there, like Henry Cavill, whatever, Idris Elba. Like they all have that. They all have that.
It's very, very different. But there's the Bond list is always 20 names long. I feel like he should at least be on it. Again, not my choice, but I feel like you throw the guy a bone. But yeah, maybe he's got a British accent.
Did you ever watch Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I don't like. I know you're such a big Cavill guy. I've probably started it 3 times and just never really gotten through.
It gets better as it goes.
It gets better as it goes. Sure, okay, yeah.
That's a good movie. That's such a sexy movie.
I mean. What's her face? Alicia Vikander is so hot. Ooh.
Yeah, she's unbelievably attractive in that, as is the entire cast, including the cannibal Army Hammer. But yeah, so that's the end of early news. Before we get into our plane review, we do have one ad. And Fights, I'll let you read it.
Oh, okay.
Dude, he's got a book.
Excuse me. Today's episode of LCB is brought to you by the new movie Clandestine Atlas. In Clandestine Atlas, Gerard Butler plays a covert operator from Rapid City, Iowa, named Chris Miller. He has a Scottish accent for some weird reason that is never explained. This CIA agent codenamed Atlas must disarm a small nuclear bomb that is hidden somewhere in the stadium of a Washington, D.C.'s football team, the D.C. Stallions. While on the hunt for this bomb, he discovers that the person who planted it is none other than his ex-partner, Matt Walker, who was played by Taylor Kitsch. I gotta sit up for this. Kitsch runs a rogue private military program called Sentinel. Gerard Butler's boss, played by Chris Cooper, thinks that he is too close to the case, but Butler convinced him that he is the most qualified person for the job. Butler and his new partner, Frankie Gonzalez, played by Michael Pena, search frantically around the city for Kitsch. They are ambushed by Kitsch's PMCs, but they fight them off, and eventually Butler corners him. He has Kitsch in his gun sights and tries to talk his old friend into surrendering. Kitsch drops his gun and taunts Butler. You won't shoot an unarmed man. You're too honorable for that. He is right. Butler lets him escape, and he leaves. He fatally shoots Michael Pena. Find the bomb. Save the world, Pena says before dying. Butler finally tracks down the bomb and finds out it is hidden in the garbage room of the stadium. After fighting through more PMCs disguised as stadium workers, he has a hand-to-hand fight with Kitsch. During the fight, he grabs a nuclear bomb, which is in a backpack. They fight their way to the helipad where Kitsch's escape helicopter waits. He manages to fight off Butler and kick him off as they take off. I hate to cut this short, but I got somewhere to be, old man. The helicopter flies towards a tanker into the Atlantic Ocean. Butler whispers to himself, I may be the old man, but you're about to be the boomer, asshole. Once outside of the range and over the ocean, Kitsch presses the detonator. He starts hearing the beep, 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 beep. He looks out to the side of the helicopter and sees the backpack with a nuke hanging off the railing. Kitsch laughs to himself. Son of a... Boom! Make sure to check out Clandestine Atlas in theaters April 31st.
Woo!
What a movie that is. I'd see that in a heartbeat. I love the Chris Cooper edition. Unbelievable. Yeah,
you need him. If you're making any sort of like spy movie, Chris Cooper needs to be involved in some way.
Dude, Chris Cooper's fantastic.
That movie sounds great.
When does that come out?
April 31st is the date it comes out.
Is that a real date?
Nope.
I didn't think so. I had a feeling.
All right. We have our draft of plane movies. First up, we got Fights. Then we got Gooch. Then we got me. So Fights, you get the first pick in plane movies. Remember, you can do anything you want. Doesn't need to be genre. Doesn't even really need, like, it just needs to be a plane involved, really.
Okay. While we're talking accents, I guess I'm going to go Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can, yeah, great pick.
With our boy Tom Hanks with an all-time bad Boston accent.
Does that really, like, stand out? Like,
all-time bad might be an exaggeration, but when I watch it, I'm a little like, what the fuck is he talking about over here? But Catch Me If You Can is, I think, maybe one, I'll call my top three favorite Leo movies.
Sure.
Right? Maybe.
What else would you have up there?
Dude, you want to know something crazy? And this could be I think The Departed is kind of eh.
You think so? I don't think his performance
you're from
in
Boston.
It.
I know.
I was
going to
say that.
Oh,
like
my
the,
God.
The Massachusetts. Isn't the right word.
You think
I
he's think, at or the movie on the whole?
I think
at?
He's great, actually. I think he's great. Okay. I think the movie as a whole is just a little cliche.
Sure.
I think the same way about The Town, too. I think they're both good TNT Saturday afternoon movies. I don't think they both should. And The Town didn't. But I don't know if I would have had The Departed up there for the Oscar recognition type stuff.
Sure.
But I'll go.
Django, fuck. You have.
Django, yes, for
Inception,
sure.
Inception, you have, which is like.
Yeah, honestly, I would probably give those my three. Thank you.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I haven't, like I said, I've only seen that once.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street's okay. Too long.
Titanic is like.
Titanic's fine.
Blood Diamond, I feel like it's moving.
Oh, fuck me.
With this South African accent.
Bro, Blood Diamond's a fucking all timer.
J. Edgar.
His
Southern accent.
Aviator.
Oh,
Shelter Island. I mean.
Shelter Island's a good one.
Gangs of New York.
Oh, Gangs of New York's a classic, too.
Yeah, we're up in the list now of Leo performances. Revolutionary Road, he is awesome in, but I know people don't love that. Body of Lies, that's another one. That's a TNT movie.
That's a me movie right there. Body of Lies is. Yeah, see, all these movies. Body of Lies, Django, yeah. Gangs of New York, Catch Me If You Can, Aviator probably even.
Yeah.
I would put. Above The Departed.
Yeah. Gilbert Grape, I don't think you can count that. But Basketball Diaries, awesome movie too.
Never seen that one.
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. He's good in Don't Look Up. He's undeniably good in
Don't Look Up. I like Don't Look Up. Yeah. I think people kind of like, I think because it's a volatile topic, people either love it or hate it. I thought Don't Look Up was a very solid movie.
I liked it too, but it was very ridiculous to act like he was just this unfuckable nerd.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was good at it, particularly the scene when they're in bed. And she's talking about, like, she's fucked two presidents and all this.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like there are so many times, particularly nowadays, where Leo just plays Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you're talking The Wolf of Wall Street, The Great Gatsby, things like that, where it's like, I'm the fucking hot playboy. And, like, you're just being Leo. And I was like, he actually kind of does have me believing that he's, like, such a dork in this bed right now.
He was a good nerd, but he's just too handsome to be, like, unfuckable.
Yeah.
Like, you need to look like Tommy Smokes if you want to look unfuckable. You know what I mean? Like, I believe it. I wouldn't believe it with Leonardo DiCaprio. Gooch, you're up.
Damn, I can't decide if I want to go the pander pick or go with my heart.
Very
interesting. I'm going to go with my heart. I got to go Airplane.
Yeah, Airplane sounds so fucking funny, man.
It's just so, and it's wild that, like, because old comedies, for the most part, for me at least, they don't hold up. They just don't. Mm-hmm. Comedy is just not transferable across decades, but Airplane does. And it's because there's just like a joke every fucking 20 seconds.
Yep.
Remember when you guys interviewed David Zucker and he was like, I think he said they turned in the script and like the studio is basically like, fuck no. Like, cause there's too many jokes, too many jokes in this. And then it just comes out. It's just such a simple premise and it works so well.
One of my favorite lines from Airplane is when the guy, like the main pilot guy, he's like, yeah, after all this happened, I developed my drinking problem. And he just like misses his face with his drink. There's so many great lines in that.
Like, I haven't seen it. So I was, it took me a while to picture that.
Surely you can't be serious. Like everything with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Is that the one I've seen so much? It's almost like, and it's a testament to Airplane, I guess, where there are so many gifs and memes of it.
Yeah.
That like, I'm not even sure that they're all from it, but is that the one where it's like, pick the hell of a day to stop smoking?
Yes,
pick the hell
of a day to stop, blah, blah, blah. To stop snorting crack. Or, it would go up every time. Oh man, there's so many great scenes in the Airplane. That's a fantastic pick.
I've been meaning to watch Airplane for like 6 months now. It's just like,
there's literally joke, like you're saying, like every 20 seconds, and it's like an amazing wordplay joke that isn't dependent on some pop culture thing of the time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2000s is the worst offender of that. Where it's like, you need to know XYZ to understand this joke. But like,
kid just walking into the cockpit, just staring at Kareem.
Yeah.
Staring at him.
Dude, it's such a good movie.
Oh my God.
All right. For mine, I'll double up I'll start with Air Force One.
Just watched that recently.
Yeah, me too, actually. Air Force One, I think, is a movie where, like, you think of it as like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, almost in like Seagal territory, which there is a Seagal movie on this list, by the way, on Airplane.
I've never seen a Seagal movie.
Really?
I don't believe. I'm sure maybe
they're
I've stumbled
good
into
for
one.
The most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Air Force One is so good. And Gary Oldman is like the perfect Russian bad guy.
Yeah.
His accent and everything, amazing. And just everything about the movie, like the progression, it's like playing a video game or something where it's like, here, beat this boss until you beat the final boss with Gary Oldman. And Gary Oldman's death in Airplane is so cool. Like where he opens the parachute and it just like breaks his neck.
Yeah.
It's awesome. A great movie.
Neck kills are fantastic.
Always great.
When we interviewed fucking God damn it, what's his name?
From what movie?
Dude, I told him to his face, he's like one of my favorite actors, and now I can't think of his name.
Frank Grillo?
Name a movie.
No.
I feel like he's got a lot of neck deaths.
Fucking, he's in every, goddamn, I'm gonna have to, I can't even think of a movie now, but I'm just panicking. Jason Clarke.
Jason Clarke. Yeah.
And in White House Down.
Yeah.
His death in White House Down with the fucking, cool. Everything wrapped around his neck is an all-time one. I believe he told us he broke his ribs, or either Channing Tatum broke his ribs, or he broke Channing Tatum's ribs.
Gotcha.
In that fight scene.
What sucked is we interviewed him the same day you guys did. He left, and within the hour, he was cast in Oppenheimer, and it was announced.
No way.
Yeah. I swear to God.
Like, literally within the hour, the news dropped.
We joked with him literally during the interview. We're like, yeah, we have this thing where, like, after every single interview, somebody gets a big casting. So if you got anything right now, let us know. And then he didn't say fucking shit.
And I'm doubling up Air Force One with Con Air.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Con Air has got to be up there as well. One of the all-time great 90s action movies. Obviously, takes place on an awesome plane, by the way. It was an AC-130 or whatever. Like, that's a cool-ass plane. Great cast. Like, just an all-time crew of 90s dudes in that. And, yeah, I feel like I need it. And this is a great double-up for me.
Bro, that's a great two to catch right there. God damn, man.
So now, Gooch, you're back up.
All right, now I can go with the pander pick. It's Top Gun Maverick.
God.
Got to go with it.
I was going to go, well, I guess I can. I'll just say it now so we can do it together. I was going to go Top Gun 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
see, I much prefer Top Gun Maverick. I think it's a far better movie.
See, I guess I need to do a rewatch because I saw it like three times in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so different in theaters where you're just like, oh, and you're not even really like taking in the movie as a whole. You're just like, fuck fucking airplanes. Whereas like watching the movie, and I've seen Top Gun 1 so many times that I love the storylines of it rather than just the action.
Opening hook for Top Gun 2, like that, when he's in that absurd plane, just like pushing the limit, like going like 1,000 miles per hour. Like that is so, like that was mind blowing in theater.
That's arguably my favorite scene in the movie.
It looks so good.
Just that, like it's silence, just the plane shooting across the sky. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Like, that's the best plane. That's the best planes I've ever looked in a movie.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Awesome planes. I will say to Top Gun 1's credit, like Top Gun 2, undeniably better movie in my opinion, but like Top Gun 1 has an endearing cheesiness to it.
Yeah.
Of that era where it encapsulates the 80s.
I thought the love story was much better in Top Gun 1.
Yes.
And Top Gun 2 obviously is the better action.
Yes.
But I thought the love story was, and me, I'm a bit of sappy. I'm a romantic. I thought the love story in Top Gun 1 played much better.
Yeah, really well done. So Top Gun Maverick's your pick.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Also, the first Top Gun, much more realistic body standards.
Yeah,
on the beach, like it's like they're very like in shape, and it's like I don't look like that, but it's like I could maybe get there. Top Gun 2, it's like
no chance.
Like Miles Teller, I'm never gonna look like
Glenn
that. Tom Cruise, I'll never look like that. Yeah, it's like Jesus Christ. Yeah,
man, like the guy who played Goose, I forget his name. Like he was just like in regular shape. I'm like I can do that.
Yeah.
I could get there someday.
I got an uncle who looks like that.
Also, much more realistic beach game standards.
Yes
where you play volleyball versus. It's not murder ball.
They played like it was like war football or something.
They played a game we're not allowed to say anymore.
What was it?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. Smear the.
Okay.
Took me a second. Okay. All right.
He's like, I remember when he was describing it. He's like, it's offense and defense at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? This is a game invented for this movie.
No, I remember after we went to the
with two balls,
the screening, I texted PFT. I'm like, they made this football game in this, and I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to want to play this. I actually have a picture of me. Like we went to the screening, and they gave us like helmets and shit to hold.
No way. Really? Yeah. I've never seen that picture.
It was fucking crazy. It was an insane. Also, they gave us like promotional stuff and tickets and shit, and I framed it. I was like, this movie is so good. I'm just going to frame it, throw it in my bedroom somewhere.
That's very cool.
So you're going to go with Top Gun?
Top Gun, right?
First Top Gun?
Yeah.
There are the fight scenes in Top Gun are very, very cool for whatever that's worth. I feel like the only thing I wish from that movie is that there was more of them. You know what I mean?
The fight scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
just kind of like a couple aerial combat fights, like actual aerial combat fights.
Yeah, because then it becomes just like what? They basically do the castle run.
Yeah.
I mean.
More or less, yeah. I know I have a picture of this fucking...
It's not the most original movie.
Yeah. That's putting it lightly. I know I looked really
high. It'll be awesome if that movie actually does pull off the win at the Oscars, which still has an outside shot.
Yeah.
What is the front runner?
It's between Banshees and Everything.
You think Banshees is
Banshees and Everything everywhere at once. Yeah, they're like... And the Fablemans is kind of in there, but its steam has faded. It's faded off quite a bit.
Has it?
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that, so I was surprised to see it get as much love. I mean, obviously, I know it's a Spielberg movie about his life that people are going to like it a lot. And by that, I mean, by people, I mean awards. But I was surprised to see it won, what, three Globes?
Fablemans?
Best Picture, Drama.
Best Director.
Best Director. Maybe it was two.
Yeah, it was two.
Was it?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I can't find that picture, but that was a fun-ass time. That premiere was awesome. Okay, so who's up? Fight says top Fights. And you have back-a-back. You have okay. another one.
Damn, this is a hard one.
It does get way tougher after this.
I guess I'm going to go... I'm going to go Flight.
Mm.
I think Flight's a pretty underrated movie.
We were talking about Flight. I was talking about Flight with, I think, Robbie before, and he was, like, very low, and I'm like, I don't know. I think it's fine.
Really?
So it's like...
I like, yeah. And maybe it's because
it's slow.
It's very slow. I watched it for the first time. I've seen it a few times now, but I watched it for the first time. I don't know, 7-8 years ago now, right? Hungover as shit, just like with the hungover anxiety coursing through my veins on a Sunday afternoon.
It's a terrible movie to watch hungover,
but that's why I like it so much. I think because it made me feel so much. Where I was just like yelling at the TV, I was like, "Dude, just stop drinking, please!" Like, just begging and pleading with Denzel. And I think John Goodman's a great supporting actor in that.
Yeah,
John Goodman, that scene when John Goodman brings the I forget what they call it, but brings to the hospital like the Coke and the beers and everything. Like, but a banana boat.
Yeah,
a banana boat. I think I forget what song is playing, but some classic song is playing there. Is a very, very good scene. So I'll go Flight. I'm a big Flight guy.
I like Flight. Gucci, you're up.
Damn. I'm looking at my list. I'm like, I'm gonna go Doctor Strangelove, which isn't the most plane centric movie, but
the plane
scene
is the scene from the movie.
Yeah, the plane scene with and they cut back and forth to the plane quite a bit with young ass James Earl Jones in there too.
That's right. Yeah, that was one of his first movies.
Yeah. That is a movie that I think everybody should watch. Yeah. Another movie where the comedy actually fucking holds up.
Yeah. And like the whatever theme of it also is still very relevant.
Yeah. I mean, the gif is timeless.
Yeah.
Him. Yes. So
what's
fun.
This one?
Dr. Strangelove.
Or How I Stopped Fearing the End. What's the full title?
Something like that. That's one of those long ones. But it's a good ass movie. That's an oldie getting a very goodie. What is the full title? Or How I Stopped.
How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
That was it, yeah.
Such a long title. It's a Kubrick movie.
Some of them do that shit. What was the one that did that recently? Oh, Birdman. Birdman, and then his other one, too, is the one he just did. Inuritu's most recent one. What was Inuritu's? Bardock? Or
Bardo, or a false Bardo. False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths.
Yeah, just fuck you, dude.
Fuck you. I watched
great director. Fuck you.
I didn't hate that movie, but it was one of those movies I watched, and I was just like, this guy's sniffing his own farts.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That one was tough. For my pick, I will do first. You could consider this cheating, and I wouldn't care. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Definitely counts.
Yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. One of the all-time holiday movies. Obviously not like Christmas, but I feel like Thanksgiving counts towards that. Super funny, obviously. Very sweet. Like, I rewatched it the other day. I always forget like how that like. Not crushing, but like nice that ending scene is where like, he goes and like has Thanksgiving dinner with his family, with Steve Martin's family. John Candy at like the height of his game. Steve Martin, obviously a legend. And then I'll back to back that.
By the way, Steve Martin, major miss on our bracket.
Damn, we should
most
have
most universally liked.
Yeah,
most universally liked. That's a man with zero haters. Yeah. Not a single one.
Fuck, that sucks. Yeah. And then next time, I'll back to back with. I'll do Up in the Air.
Nah, yes. You keep stealing them.
Up in the Air is an awesome movie.
Up in the Air is so good. Yeah. I watch that like probably like once a quarter. I love Up in the Air.
That's one of my favorite Clooney movies ever, for sure. But like, I think also just like one of my favorite, just like I'll tune into that wherever it's on movies over like the last decade. But like I'll stop and watch Up in the Air what if it's on TV, which is very rare.
I was talking actually last night with Nate, just Clooney stuff. I don't even remember how he came up in conversation. But and then we just started sending each other like clips from Clooney interviews.
Mm-hmm.
This is no shock to anybody listening to this podcast or anybody with a pulse. He is so goddamn charismatic.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I think
dude.
It's the voice does so much. Like he's obviously hot.
George Clooney.
His voice is so sexy. It's crazy. From
Kentucky, baby.
Is he really?
Is he Kentucky boy?
Yep.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
I did not know that. We were sending back and forth his fucking like his pranks. He's describing all his pranks.
Mm.
His one with Pitt and Meryl Streep is...
Wait, what's his prank with Meryl Streep?
Dude, he fucking had... I think he said Kimmel gave him some of Brad Pitt's stationery.
Okay.
And he sent a letter to Meryl Streep.
As Brad
when
Pitt.
When she got... Yeah, from Brad Pitt when she got the Iron Lady. And, like, offering her, like, free accent lessons. And then he didn't tell either of them that he did it for like 2 years or something like that.
Oh, it would be funny if she went to collect.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Oh, okay. So I'm looking up George Clooney. His mom is a beauty queen, which makes sense.
I mean, and Rosemary Clooney was his aunt.
Yeah, yeah. Rosemary Clooney's aunt. And who's then.
Have you ever seen White Christmas?
No. Singer actress.
Yeah, she's big in like the 50s.
Oh, so he's a Nepo baby?
Kind of. Well, she used to go, how he ended up in the movie business was she would go to Keeneland. The horse track in Lexington, and he would come down in high school and just drive her and her friends around, be their DD, and they would just they'd be drunk as shit at the horse tracks, and he would just come pick them up.
his dad was an anchorman. That's kind of cool. That's where he gets the voice from, I would assume.
That's true. Guy. He also, I think, played a little minor league ball or tried out for the Reds.
Did he really?
At one point, yeah.
No way.
He's a good ball player.
Clooney.
He went to Northern Kentucky University, briefly went to University of Cincinnati, did not graduate from either. He earned money selling women's shoes, fucking Al Bundy or whatever.
Dude, oh, wait, do you know the other prank I forgot that I had forgot about it until last night? Dude, so who was fucking Larry David's cousin in Curb?
Oh, man, hold on. Larry David...
I haven't seen all of Curb, so
I don't remember Richard Kind. Richard Kind. We were just talking about him. Yeah.
And so he lived when he was like an out of work actor. He lived with Richard Kind, who had a cat, and Kind was working, so Clooney would just hang around the house all day, watch TV, whatever.
Yeah.
And Clooney started doing it just as like a house guest kind of deal, and like was cleaning the cat's litter box. During the day. And like after 3 or 4 days, Richard Kind was like, George, I gotta tell you, like, my cat hasn't shit in 3 or 4 days. And Clooney was like, oh, I'm just gonna keep this up then.
Yeah, he's like,
ah, that's crazy. So he keeps doing it for like, I don't know, let's call it another week or whatever. Yeah. And Kind's losing his mind. He's like, this is crazy. Like, this cat doesn't shit anymore. Like, I don't know what's happening. And Clooney says it's like a little cat, like fucking this big, like very small cat. And then one day he's cleaning out the litter box. And has an aha moment that Clooney should shit in the litter box.
It's a giant human style.
So Richard Kind comes home and Clooney's sitting on the couch watching Jeopardy and just hears from the bathroom, oh my God, George, you gotta get in here.
Just like, a giant human size.
Just a human size shit. He like highlights how small the cat is. He's like, the shit was the size of the cat.
Dude, human shit outside the bowl is the most egregious looking thing ever. It's so much bigger than you expect it to be.
Holy shit, that's funny.
You see it in you don't really see it like normal places, but like in New York you'll see it occasionally. And you'll just be like, what the fuck?
Is there a horse over here?
Oh my god. That's still, how do you know what I would do? Fucking pet. Shit. All right, so I had up in the air. Gucci, you're up.
Jesus. Let me get my list back up.
Right now you have Airplane, Top Gun Maverick, and Doctor Strangelove.
All right. I'm going to go Porco Rosso.
That's a good pick. I didn't even think about that.
Bro, yeah. Gucci, you're picking movies I hadn't even heard of.
It's a kid's movie.
Okay.
It's a Studio Ghibli.
Yeah. You know, like Spirited Away and all those movies, the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pig. He's a fine
pig. Fine pig, voiced by Michael Keaton in the laziest voice acting performance that's ever existed.
That's my only complaint about that movie, is that Michael Keaton fucking mailed that shit in.
Yeah, but it almost makes it more endearing because the character is so phoned in anyway.
Yeah. Interesting thing about that movie was originally it was supposed to be like just a little like animated short, like a 5-minute short for like, I think it was like JLA, like Japanese airline. and Miyazaki was like, actually, I think I got something here, and just expanded it out into a full ass movie.
It's a movie about a pig that flies airplanes and shoots down air pirates.
It's anti-fascist. Like, he's like, it's got a lot of political messaging in it.
It's all over the Aegean Sea and Italy and all these islands and stuff.
I'd rather be a pig than a fascist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he's just a chauvinist. Like, he just is horny as shit.
Yeah, super horny.
The super horny pig.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So he's a pig man. He's like a man with the face of a pig, literally.
How old's your daughter again?
Yeah.
God, what the fuck? But
it's a Casablanca vibes on.
I do love Porco Rosso.
That's a great pick.
Yeah.
You got back to back to end.
Back to back to end it. I gotta be honest, I think I fucking really crushed this draft. I'll go The Aviator and Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2 is a good pick. I didn't even think about that. Fuck. That's really good. And Aviator, obviously.
Aviator is gonna be my next pick.
Yeah, and that's a movie that's like literally built all around planes. Like,
yeah,
everything about every part of DNA in that movie is about planes, until like maybe
Kate Blanchett is so fucking good in that movie.
Yeah, people forget that too, and she was playing like someone who has a lot of like people know how she acted, so yeah, or how she looked and all that shit. So that's
nail
hard.
Bat voice, like that
old-timey lady voice. Yeah, that's like what Michelle Williams wishes she could do.
It's true. Michelle Williams did try to do that voice and like didn't work.
Every movie she's ever made.
She's
the same like fucking like person they took out of a stage play and just inserted her into a movie. God.
The Aviator scene too, when Hughes finally loses his mind and he's just doing like, come on with the milk. We're coming with the milk. Me and my buddies would just like say that. High school that came out, just like go around just screaming that.
It's crazy that was a real person. It's crazy Howard Hughes was a real person. Like,
yeah,
and that all the shit in that movie is just true. Like,
yeah, him sitting naked watching movies and shit, like getting dirty, not showering.
Just piss jars, right?
He's piss jars. Name of that plane was a Spruce Goose. Cool ass name for a plane. Yeah, kind of wish they kept that around. That would have been a good one. So Gooch, your last pick.
Money Plane.
Damn. Did you watch Money Plane?
No, you kept texting about it. I know you. Obviously, it was an LCB bit for a while.
Darius
Emmanuel Grouch III.
The Rumble was his
name. Was they called him the Rumble, even though he had a fucking long ass name that he went by anyway.
Kelsey Grammer, when you interviewed him, and he's just like, people don't even ask me about Frasier anymore. They just come up and say Money Plane. Yeah. What has my career become?
I saw there was a trailer for that he was in last night before Plane, that actually looked dope.
I saw
they're rebooting Frasier.
They are. I wonder what channel is that on again? Is that NBC? I'm not sure. I don't know. Kelsey Grammer rocked though. He was a good interview. He loves beer. Big beer guy, which is kind of interesting. He does
really.
I think he owns his own brewery or something. Or maybe it was wine. I'm not sure.
Maybe this doesn't exist. Maybe I made that up in my head.
Was it Jesus Revolution?
Oh wait, I didn't know that they. No. Yeah, I have no idea. As I'm looking at his IMDb right now, I have no idea what I could have seen a trailer for recently.
Huh. Okay. So you're going with Money Plane as your last one. For my last one, I have a couple options, and since I'm not tipping, I can just say them. Executive Decision. With Kurt Russell and Steven Seagal.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's like they take a plane hostage and they need to go rescue him. And they fly a plane and dock into that plane and cut into it and go into it. And like Steven Seagal like sacrifices himself and he gets caught in like the umbilical of the things. And he gets like blown up. It's really funny. But Kurt Russell is really good in that. Flight Plan you could put up there is actually, I think, one of the dozen questions.
Which one was Flight Plan?
It's with Jodie Foster.
But wasn't she also with Nonstop?
No, that's Liam Neeson.
But isn't there a woman in that too?
It was a good Liam Neeson plane movie.
Yeah.
The Gray. Not really a full on plane movie, but there's a plane.
That's a sneaky good movie, The Gray.
Yeah.
Red Eye, you could put up there, Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams. Mm-hmm. Snakes on a Plane. Go up there, Soul Plane. Up in the Air.
Snakes on a Plane was one of the first like real internet memes.
Yeah. Someone was saying that they read an interview with Samuel. Where he was like, they wanted to change like the name of the movie. And he was like, if you change the movie, I'm out. It's called Snakes on a Plane. That's it.
I mean, that was really the selling point, though.
Right. Fuck it. I'm taking Snakes on a Plane. It's not a movie where I'm like going to stop and watch Snakes on a Plane at any point, really. But Snakes on a Plane is just like you're saying, like it was the plane movie.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
All timeline. The only other one I would have considered probably is like Executive Decision. And Red Eye. Like, Red Eye's not great, but it's also not bad.
I forgot about Red Eye.
Yeah. Weird Cillian Murphy role. How did KFC pronounce his name wrong for a very long time? Cillian Murphy or something he said?
Did he?
Like, his name. I don't remember that. And Nonstop, the one with Liam Neeson, was very funny. That was where he was the drunken air marshal or whatever. No, no, that was a good
one. Trying to think of some other plane movies. We pretty much named every single one I had.
Yeah, we got good ones. So our lists are Fights has Catch Me If You Can, Top Gun, Flight, The Aviator, Die Hard 2, Gucci have Airplane, Top Gun, Maverick, Doctor Strangelove, Porco Rosso, Money Plane, I have Air Force One, Con Air, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Up in the Air, and Snakes on a Plane. Pretty good list of movies.
Pretty good list, yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't know who would win this in the
I think it's going to be Fights.
You think so?
Yeah.
That is an elite top two, without a doubt. Flight, I feel like people are in between on, but then you and you round out super well, too.
Flight was a crowd pleaser. I feel like that movie killed at the box office. People Denzel got the Academy Award nom.
Yeah.
Did he?
People love Denzel. He got nominated.
Yeah, that last scene where he's like, I'm drunk right now, is very solid.
Yeah.
I was just trying to look up the cast of Die Hard 2. Because I watched it recently.
Jeremy Irons was the bad guy, right?
Yes.
He's like Hans Gruber's brother.
But yes. But the very first person killed, I want to say it's the very person, the very first bad guy killed at least, is very famous now.
Really?
But it was like a nobody. And I was like, holy shit, that's blank. Uh-huh. And maybe not very famous now, but they were recognizable. It's like I think Bruce Willis like drops down from the ceiling or something like that, and they're in all white. It is. I forget who it was, but I was over the holidays, obviously, and I was watching it, and I was like, "Holy shit!" That then I rewound like three times, but yeah, that is blank, and I can't remember who they are. And as I was just going through the cast, like I didn't stick out either.
Let's see, as among the henchmen, John Leguizamo.
Was it Leguizamo?
Leguizamo's in it as Burke.
It's also very funny that Speed, the Keanu Reeves Speed, like just completely jacked the poster.
Yeah.
Like they literally stole the whole design of their poster from Die Hard 2.
Dude, hell yeah. Dennis Franz was in Die Hard 2. I didn't know that. That rocks. A whole bunch of other people, yeah.
I'm gonna rewatch it, and I'm gonna figure it out, and I'm gonna tell everybody.
Hell yeah.
It almost has to be John Lasagna, right?
Yeah, John Lasagna seems like he would be the guy that you're looking for, because this is what 1990, yeah, so this is like before he even really had a big enough of a break. This is before Mario Brothers, Bob Hoskins, I think.
What's John Leguizamo look like?
John Leguizamo,
did you see the menu?
Oh, Leguizamo.
Yeah, we call him John Leguizamo.
Okay, I was like, it's a different person. No, I know exactly what Leguizamo looks like.
Yeah,
maybe it is Leguizamo.
That seems like it fits. All right, so that's our draft. We'll be back next week or Monday with another episode. What are we doing on Monday? What movie? I don't even remember.
Plane.
We could do Plane. We could do... Puss we did Boots, Megan back-to-back.
Puss in Boots 2.
Puss in Boots 2 is on the list.
Pale Blue Eye.
Pale Blue Eye 2.
I don't really want to talk about the Pale Blue Eye, though.
That's a boring conversation, I think.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a very, very fun conversation.
What's in AMC theaters right now? I feel like this is how we can... an easy way to decide. See a movie.
Did you guys like Megan?
Yeah, solid.
I saw Megan in a theater that was like down to party.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, that's how my theater was.
It was like a midday Saturday viewing. And Plane, the trailer for Plane, got a big round of applause. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole Kidman's commercial got a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're going to fuck today. And then like everyone was just like ripping and running during the whole movie. And I was like, obviously that adds to the experience and the enjoyment of it. But I like the movie itself too.
Dude, I do not know what they were doing in the theater next to mine. It was like a RuPaul something, but the gays were out. And there was a lot of gays in my theater too. And they would like just yell every time Megan came on screen and like look stupid. They'd be like, bitch.
Dude, that was the,
it was so funny. Like that, it really was just a fun movie to see with a like large crowd.
Keegs had a retweet. Cause it was like, I guess Megan has become a, icon in the gay community. And
fucking doll.
And someone was like, it was like someone like,
it's like the Babadook all over
again. Yeah, seriously. Oh my god, I forgot about that era.
Someone like earnestly trying to answer why they're like she has become,
she serves cunt,
an icon. Yeah. And like it was like a genuine like example or whatever. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Megan Ryder Akala Cooper explains why the AI doll has become an LGBTQ icon. This girl has lost her family. Then the doll is also brought into this situation. That resonates for a lot of the people in the gay community. The idea of found family. And what I'm assuming is a gay person. Quotes me and he goes, it's actually because she dances and she's also a huge bitch.
Try to do like a full psychological eval of it. It's not literally wrong. Man Called Otto, I think it has to be it. We should definitely do that.
Dude,
that'd be fun to shred.
I hated that book. I can't imagine.
Did you? Oh.
I,
don't want to see that.
We've been dreading watching this movie.
It is. It's just like the story is a story that's been told so many times, and so a story that doesn't need to be told, where it's just like an old racist white
guy. Watch Gran Torino. I'll just watch Gran Torino.
It's rated G Gran Torino, basically, which is like, I don't know.
I got a cat.
Yeah.
That's what he does in the trailer every single time.
His like attempt at a gravelly old man voice just sucks too. You can stop letting him do accents. Don't not like, an accent guy.
Yeah, so are you brown people.
Yeah.
I don't mean that racially.
God. If,
there's something about Tom Hanks with accents. He just can't figure it out.
Like, also just matter. Fucking sucks at suicide.
His character Otto. No. Yeah. Like, that's good to know.
Tom Hanks, good lord.
Always trying to commit suicide and just can't get it. Fuck, I got to do this movie too.
Can't look forward to it. Yeah, I can't wait to see that scene now. But yeah, we'll be back. Make sure you watch A Man Called Otto. I can't guarantee that's a movie we're going to review, but you should watch it. This should be,
I'm seeing Plane. That's my first priority. And then if I have time, I'll see
him. I'm going to see Plane tomorrow too. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you.
Thank you, guys.
This one's brought to you by TickPick. Ever actually read a ticket receipt? Service fee? Processing fee? Convenience fee? Convenient for who? That's an extra $30 a ticket. TickPick doesn't do that. Never has, never will. No fees means the exact same seat, same section, same row. Costs less on TickPick. Fans trust TickPick for all their live events. Check the reviews yourself. So why overpay for the exact same seat? Download the TickPick app and never pay another service fee again. And for new TickPick customers, take $20 off your first order with promo code PMT20 in the TickPick app. Terms apply. That's PMT20 at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.